Today's journey to wellness in Indian country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, educating medical students dedicated to serving rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities. Joining us this morning on the phone is Peyton Counts. She's the program assistant of an fascinating program down in the cities called Keep the Fire Alive. Peyton, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Let's talk a little bit about this Keep the Fire Alive program. According to some information that I was able to find, Native kids age 10 to 24 have the highest suicide rate of any age group in Minnesota. That's more than three times that of white kids. And one of the things that the Keep the Fire Alive program is doing, perhaps that's a little different, is providing culturally relevant programming for the kids. Talk a little bit about what some of the stressors are that Native kids are coping with that perhaps non-Native kids aren't.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we think of like factors that contribute to suicide, there's a lot. And it's really complex, and each person has their own individual things that they have to deal with, and that might get them to a point where they're contemplating thinking about suicide or something like that. And so when we look at the Native population specifically, there's this really big connection to cultural trauma. And so when we think of that, we think of historical trauma, kind of those big things that happen to the Native people as a group to get them to where they are today. And stemming from that historical trauma, things like boarding schools, you know, the relocation era, reservations, the treaties, all this really, really rich stuff that happened between Native Americans and the federal government stems intergenerational trauma. So that's from passing from generation to generation. And so maybe you hear a lot of stories about parents who went to the boarding schools who unfortunately don't know their language, and they experienced a lot of trauma. And so because of that, they aren't really sure how to parent their own kids. And so that's kind of where this cycle starts and continues. And then whenever you get that intergenerational trauma, individual trauma automatically comes along with that. And so that's just the experiences one person has from day to day. And something that I've heard a lot with the youth that we talk to is really lack of cultural connection. So, you know, we weren't able to practice our traditional ways until 1978, and that wasn't that long ago. And so we have to re-find those places where we're able to connect with culture, go to ceremonies and stuff like that to really revitalize the culture that's within us.
One of the interesting things that I've learned from conversations on this program has to do with the idea that hurt people hurt people. And if you are cut off from your support, you're cut off from your family, your language is taken away, then maybe you try to come home, but suddenly you don't speak the language anymore and you don't look the way you did when you left. And then, of course, all of these ugly stories coming out about the abuses that so many of these kids suffered while in boarding schools. And so these people are cut off from all of their traditional ways of, well, everybody's traditional ways of finding comfort, being with the people that you love, speaking the language that you know firsthand, being with your family, and you're cut off from all of that. And obviously, then you may or may not have the best coping skills. We're struggling in you know, 150 years later, we're still struggling trying to figure out healthy coping skills. And so this is where the idea comes from. I think it's easy for people to say, oh, it was 150 years ago, move past it. There are people in your life right now who are experiencing this trauma almost firsthand. And of course, with the boarding school era, like you say, a lot of people are still experiencing it firsthand. They lived through it. So what are the kinds of things that you are offering these kids to give them kind of an extra inoculation maybe against, because they've got an awful lot on their plate that other kids don't when it comes to trauma and maybe depression, seeing maybe bad coping skills modeled for them. They've got a lot of extra problems, issues on their plate to struggle with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's really hard too. When people say it's in so far in the past, it's not. There's so much institutionalized systems set up that are designed against people who aren't of the dominant society. And so it's just so common, you know, even last year in North Dakota with the voting rights and trying to suppress Native voters. So it's still happening today. And so when you're not educated about that population, it's really easy to say that it's not happening. But when you experience those things firsthand, you know, Native mascots, all these negative portrayals of Native people, you still feel that, and it's hard. And when you don't have those coping skills, it can be really difficult. And so some of the things that we try to do in our program is help engage in some of those cultural teachings and give youth a chance to connect more with the culture. So I hear a lot of the kids, you know, like, it's really common for them to say, we don't get to learn about this in school, or I've never been to a sweat lodge, or something like that, where they don't have these experiences, but they're just begging for them. They want these connections. They want to learn how to beat. They want to learn more about Native art, things like that. And so whenever we have our groups, we always start every group off with a tobacco ceremony. And we just kind of pray and start it off and smudge in a good way, make sure that they're all present and able to be there. We have done different things in the past, like going on water walks. We brought them to cultural camps. We bring in Native artists and community members to come in and show them different techniques or just kind of come speak with them, talk about traditional teachings, things like that. And I think that part is really important, and because it's really easy when you're working in the community to kind of silo yourself. And so building those connections with the other people working in the community and allowing the Native youth to see people that look like them doing successful things in the world is really, really great. And to give them the opportunity to build a connection with a trusted adult is very important. And so we also teach them more, like we'll teach them about, you know, depression or mental illness and what those signs look like and what somebody might be experiencing. And then right after that, we'll do like different healthy coping mechanisms. So we'll do like glitter jars, or we'll do mind, body, spirit, or we'll do just meditation, something to really help them center themselves and just kind of shake it off at the end of the group. So we kind of listen to the youth and what they want. Like I said, you know, they're really interested in beading. So we brought a Native artist in to come bead, things like that, where they're asking for it. And so if we have that connection to bring that in, like, we're going to do that, and just helping them in any way that we can.
Well, we'll, of course, make sure that we get some links set up so that if there are, we know that we've got such a wealth of Native artists in our community up here, and we'll make sure that we've got links set up in case anybody says, oh, wow, this is a program I'd love to volunteer for. It'll be easy for them to contact the appropriate people. Of course, folks around the state are probably wondering, are there plans or hopes to expand the program a little bit, or are there similar programs already existing in some of the outstate areas where a lot of kids are also struggling with these issues?
Yeah, so a couple of things that come to mind. Something that's really, my coworker likes to say a lot, is culture is prevention. And so when you do anything cultural related, or you're just being together with people, that is suicide prevention. It's not often called that. And, you know, after school activities, things that aren't actually geared towards suicide prevention, saying, hey, I'm a suicide prevention program, those are, because they're building connections. They're giving you access to trusted adults. So things like that are really great. We're also working right now to try to talk to somebody at the state to hopefully get a Tribal Youth Suicide Prevention Day set up. So that's something that all the tribes could be a part of, and just kind of a day here to raise awareness and kind of be together maybe smudge. So we're working on that right now. We have a task force down at our organization that we have a lot of good stakeholders working to get that to fruition. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, just being together, setting up programs, and just educating yourself on different issues.
It sounds like a fantastic program, and how lucky these kids are to have access to that and to give them some of, like you say, some of these trusted adults, the people from outside your family who maybe don't have to like you, who like you. That matters a lot. It matters a lot. And who think that you're talented and worthwhile, and that's how kids, you know, can kind of build that self-esteem. Thank you so much, Peyton, for taking some time to talk with us about this program this morning. And as I mentioned, we'll get some links set up so that it will be easy for folks to find the information. One final thing. One of the things that I noticed on your website as I was doing a little bit of poking around is there are 10 different bits of advice from elders that are available to the kids and that you incorporate as part of the program. And I wonder if you would take just a moment and share those with us before we say goodbye.
Yeah, I would love to. So number one is leave the alcohol and drugs alone. Number two, pay attention to what you're reminded of. See that what is good could be, see what it is good for you. Look for someone who is living a decent life. Love yourself before you love somebody else. Continue to educate yourself and listen to directions. Always remember what you were instructed to do. Only you can help yourself look at other people respectfully. Life was given to us, don't destroy it. And we should use Anishinaabe way of life to respect tradition. And that pamphlet can be found online. And there's also Ojibwe translations for all of those phrases.
And
so that was a really great resource.
And it's beautiful. And it's beautifully illustrated, too. And we'll get a link set up to that for that so that that is available to folks who might find it useful. Once again, Peyton, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It was great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Peyton Counts is the program assistant for a program in the cities called Keep the Fire Alive. It's a substance abuse and suicide prevention program designed for Native youth. Today's Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is made possible by the University of Minnesota Medical School Duluth Campus, a national leader in improving healthcare access and outcomes in rural Minnesota and American Indian, Alaska Native communities.